This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back to the second hour of Food for Thought. Joining me today is Jeannie Lester. We're on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester, and Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, you can give us a call at 866-823-1077. We'd love to hear of a new place that may be opening up, or a new place you've eaten at, or a recipe you'd like to share, or if you just want to chat with us. Again, the number is 866-823-1077. We'd also like to welcome our live audience here to the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester. We're located at 814 Elm Street. You still have time to come on down and have lunch at Midtown Cafe, and you can come and watch the show. And if you can go to Facebook and like our Facebook page, Food for Thought with Carol, that would be great. And, you know, I got to tell you about where we went Saturday night.
Yes.
I mean, we were so busy all day Saturday.
Yeah.
And then Saturday night, I had the pleasure of meeting Chef Evan Hennessy.
Wow.
He is going to be coming on the show, too, at some point. Soon, you know, within probably the next 2 or 3 weeks. And he is the one that went on the show Beat Bobby Flay,
yes,
which is so cool. So my friend June had told me about that, and, you know, I scouted him out, and he runs a restaurant in Dover that we went to. We went with Daryl's cousin and husband on Saturday night, so it was four of us that went, and it's called Stages. And it's in a mill building. It was kind of funky to get there, you know.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, not to get there, but you get there, you park, but then you kind of go in the building and you're like, there's a restaurant in here, and it's up on the third floor, and you kind of go down the hall, and
ooh,
it's like, there's a restaurant here.
So it's one of those places you really had to know about it.
You did.
In order to find this.
You did.
Okay.
See, it's a reservation only restaurant. It's like a restaurant you don't just, you know, let's go to Stages tonight and jump in the car and go. You do need to make a reservation. And they do have a dining room, but the dining room is only open when they do themed dinners.
Okay.
So, and Saturday night there was no themed dinner going on. So it was just, we had reservations. It's called At the Kitchen Table. And Jeannie, it was so cool. You walk in and it was, you know, like, it was like a, kind of like a bar, like tall, you know, you're at the kitchen table.
Okay.
And it was all stainless steel. It was beautiful. And it totally overlooked the whole kitchen.
Oh,
I mean, they were
right
in front of you, like, just, and you know, it was just a, you know, long bar, and you know, to the left was like where they did the dishes, and right in the middle was their big island, and literally it was the executive chef, Chef Evan Hennessy, and his sous chef, and it was so cool. I mean, we did, and then you could choose from two different menus. There was a prefix menu. It was a four-course menu. Wait a minute. Is this the... Yeah. There was a four-course menu, and then there was a 10-course menu to choose from.
Ooh.
And you could add a wine pairing if you wanted, or you didn't have to. So Daryl and I decided to do one of each so that we could get a variety of all of it. Because, you know, we looked at what they were offering, and, you know, there was hardly any repeats, and he prepared things, you know, differently. It was so good.
Wow.
You know, it was, oh my gosh, it was, I mean, the first course that I had was a turkey egg. Have you ever had a turkey egg?
No.
It was a turkey egg with black jet soybeans, crisp onions, carrot, and bay.
Huh.
I don't even know what that was, but
okay.
It came, and I mean, the dishes were beautiful, you know, and because it's like so many courses that, you know, it wasn't like big, you know, that wasn't
right,
like a lot. It was,
small.
You know, it was small.
Yep.
Well, the turkey egg, it wasn't like a normal egg either. I mean, it was beautiful. if you can call an egg beautiful, but it was like creamy,
yeah,
you know, and it was like a sunny side egg.
Okay.
And you should see the chefs, because you can watch them prepare, you know, your course right in front of you. I mean, and they are so. I mean, he was putting like these crispy onions that was on this particular plate, putting them on with the tweezers.
Oh,
like tweezer,
my
and he's
goodness.
Putting them on and placing them, and it's like, oh my gosh, like, you're kidding.
Precision
was so cool. But the turkey egg, And, you know, with these Black Jet soybeans, like, did you ever hear of that?
No,
I mean,
ever. No.
They
no.
were so good. And, you know, like with the the carrot and the bay, that must have been like the puree that was like on the bottom. Oh, it was amazing. It just was amazing. And Daryl's first course was, it was cabbages that were roasted and dried and pickled.
Oh, wow.
Just cabbage.
Okay.
It had the most unbelievable flavor.
Really?
I can't even tell you the flavor. It was unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, and it was like the three different, and they were like seared, you know, like, so it was like
the
kind
cabbage
of
was
the
seared.
Cabbage.
Wow.
It was, just amazing. It was amazing. One of the other ones was a New Hampshire goose confit with parsnip, spruce, rutabaga, and cabbages. That was amazing. The dessert.
Yeah.
It was chocolate, cake, a cake bubble, and burnt honey. Okay.
Burnt honey. So honey was another big thing this weekend.
Right?
Wow. Okay.
Burnt honey. Now the burnt honey.
Yeah.
Now you see him preparing these, and he had like a big pastry bag. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you asked him how they did these things, like one of Daryl's other ones, I'm kind of going back and forth here, but one of his other ones was he had oyster chips on top of his meal.
Wow.
Forget which one that was, but it was oyster chips. Oh, he had an oyster, and then, you know, with other stuff and oyster chips. And then, you know, when we asked him, I'm like, how did you, and I mean, it was like thin, crispy.
Beautiful.
I mean, it was fishy because it's
oyster. Yeah.
Oyster.
Yes.
But when you know, tasted it all together, mm-hmm. it just worked. And I mean, it was just amazing. I mean, the chef is just amazing. I can't even say enough. But so the dessert. Let's go back to the dessert.
Yes, the burnt honey.
So he had this pastry bag, mm-hmm. and it looked like frosting. It was white, but it was like foamy. So okay. You know, he squirts three dollops on each plate,
yeah.
And then he takes this. And I didn't even realize that was the honey at that point. I don't know what he did to the honey to make it white.
Yeah.
We did ask, but, you know, they talk all the scientific stuff with the way they cooked it and did this and dehydrated and this and that and. Like unbelievable, and then took the torch and kind of torched the top of it, so there was like these little domes that were like torched.
Yeah,
and then there was this cake, the cake bubble. It was just this. I mean, you should have seen him delicately taking them out of this pan. These little bubbles put right in the middle of the plate. It was unbelievable.
Oh,
unbelievable! And then chocolate cake pieces. They were like shaved, dense chocolate. Cake-like, but they were shaved, like thick shavings.
Okay.
And you should have seen the sous chef, okay? Because the sous chef now they're directly in front of us doing our plates. And the sous chef has his tweezers, and he's got the chocolate shavings. And, you know, Cokie, Daryl's cousin, is, you know, she was right next to me. And we're like, you can put a couple more on ours if you want. Like, you know, it was so funny.
He's like, be that precise.
Like, I know, he's like taking one shaving at a time and putting it on the plate, and it was so funny. Chef Evan comes over,
yeah.
And he goes, he takes his tweezer and he puts it down. He takes his fingers
and puts and pop.
It was like so funny. It was so funny.
My goodness.
But just amazing that chocolate bubble. I can't even tell you. It looked like if you broke it, it was gonna go. But it didn't. It was kind of like firm almost,
but it was, dense,
but, it
yeah.
would, but, but not. It was really good. It was just this burst in your mouth flavor, like amazing.
And then the burnt honey.
Burnt
did
honey.
Did that taste like honey at all? Or was it just a sweet, like meringue-y?
That's exactly what it looked like, was meringue-y.
Yep.
And, you know, again, when you tasted it with all of it together, you did get that subtle honey flavor. It all worked.
Oh,
it all worked
goodness.
Really, really well.
And that's what's so fascinating, because those blends of flavor, like nowhere else would you think, okay, what this chocolate dessert really needs is some honey. And I think to know what is going to blend and complement each other and contrast perfectly. And then was it, I'm sure it was fascinating to watch them preparing everything. Was it at all like there's part of me that kind of stresses for people when they're trying to kind of run around getting things together, or was it just completely enjoyable because you're watching these techniques and just in awe?
I was in awe. Yeah. I literally was just sitting there with like my mouth open just watching. And they were very quiet too.
Really?
I kind of, you know, you had to kind of, but they were concentrating too. I mean, they had pans and like little tiny pots, like what do you call them? oh my gosh, like a burner.
Yeah. Okay.
And they must have had like 10 of them, like all around the table. And yeah. And then the oven that they were throwing, you know, your dishes in, and it was amazing. It was amazing. But you know, we would talk and ask questions, and they would talk back. But
well, see, that's what I was wondering.
Two of them, there was no dialogue. I mean,
really? They
just kind of worked in sync together. The sous chef just kind of followed him, and it was like a song. It was just it just worked.
And just perfectly choreographed.
Perfectly.
And just wow.
Yeah, it was really cool. And they have a theme dinner coming up, and you know what the theme dinner is?
What is it?
Dr. Seuss.
So did they give you a sneak peek at the menu?
Oh, yeah.
You
the
know
menu's all on,
their,
the,
oh,
all on their website.
Okay.
And you know, it's so funny because when you showed up, okay, there was already some people there.
Yeah.
There was two people that were already there. And it almost looks like a set.
Really?
It looks like a set.
Okay.
And you know, and kind of like props, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, they had these huge squashes in there, you know.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was like so cool. And then there was like an array of Dr. Seuss books sitting there.
Oh.
And I had read the website, so I knew that they had a theme. And Daryl's like, what's with the Dr. Seuss books?
Oh,
I'm like, he has a theme dinner coming
excellent.
Up. And it was like, it just was so, it was just those little touches, and it was so cool.
Oh, yep. I wonder if they're going to do Who Hash and Roast Beast. And
I know,
wow.
right?
Green
Wicked
eggs
cool.
and ham.
Green eggs and ham. Well, Daryl asked about that, and the hostess said, I don't think he's doing green eggs and ham.
No, I can see that's. I don't think any of those things seem too ordinary for what they would put
exactly.
together.
Exactly.
So it'd be interesting to see their interpretation
exactly.
of Dr. Seuss theme.
But they do all kinds of themed dinners. And but you know, you were asking, and I didn't know how to answer you last week when you said, you know, reservations.
Yeah.
You could kind of go at any time. And I was kind of confused by that, too, because if you're at the kitchen table, don't you kind of all eat at the same time? But, you know, when we had gotten there, like I said, two people were there, then us four got there. And then after we were on probably like our second course, two other people showed up.
Really?
On the other side.
Okay.
So, and they just kind of, I mean, it's the set menu, so that and you can choose. So they just... When you're ready to do it, they make it as you go. And it was really good because Daryl was a 10 course. We were a 4 course. But he kind of had two. Like, we would wait because then he'd have a second one. And it just flowed perfectly. It flowed perfectly.
And then how many people did you happen to see? How many people were in the kitchen? I mean, is it really just these
two? That's it.
Two guys. We're
that
doing all that whole menu for... That many people.
Four, five, six, eight people. That's it.
Wow.
And that's all they had for the night.
That's unbelievable. Because you think, again, I just think back to if you're just trying to put on a simple dinner for people that are coming to your home and you've got to time it all out and you're trying to make sure that everything's going to land at the right time and
forget
you've got
it.
Two or three things happening at once, you just kind of go a little nutty. And then heaven forbid anybody talk to me while I'm trying to concentrate on that because, I've got to make sure that this is going to come out all right. Oh, that's interesting.
Isn't it?
That's fascinating. Wow. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow. So I'm looking at this menu and, oh my goodness, there's like, goose confit that you were talking about. Blistered carrot, leek, goose stock, mizuna, and Brussels. Was that a soup, I wonder?
See, now here's some pictures.
Oh, wow, beautiful.
And you'll see Chef Evan, too, but you can kind of see that we're... And if you can click on one of them, and it'll make it bigger, and then you can just kind of swipe it.
Swipe through.
Yeah.
But the presentation, again,
yes.
It's just absolutely. I can see how they'd be using, you know, anybody that's going to be using tweezers on your meal make sure that they've got that surgical precision. You know that each dish is going to be absolutely fantastic. And, so just having each of those courses come out small. Was there anything that you didn't particularly
care for?
Yeah.
You know? There really wasn't.
And again, it just it had
there,
to be
there wasn't.
Amazing.
It was all delicious. I highly recommend it. It was Stages, and they're in Dover. So check it out. And they have a great website that explains everything. And But yeah,
that is neat because in the pictures that I'm looking at, I just as you've described, there's this stainless steel counter, but all of the actual kitchen activities are right there.
Right there.
I mean, you're not being removed from those at all.
And the hostess happening. Who did the wine pairing, you know, she was kind of like, I guess you could say, well, hostess slash waitress slash dishwasher. She would go out back and do the dishes.
Wow.
Swear to God.
Multifunctional.
It was unbelievable.
Wow.
The three of them just kind of, you know, all work together. Wow. It was really good.
And what an opportunity to see the way that all plays out and to see them working together on something you probably would never get anywhere else.
Yeah.
Wow. Brilliant.
Yep. All right. You are listening to Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building and still have plenty of time to come on down and have some lunch at Midtown Cafe and watch the show and stay tuned. And we will be right back. We have Susan Osborne in from B Image Consulting. I'm very excited to talk to Susan. So stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
I know that music now. Welcome back to Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. Still have plenty of time to come on down and have some lunch at Midtown Cafe. You can come and watch the show. And we are in studio. We are very excited for our next guest. We are in studio with Susan Osborne of B Image Consulting. So welcome, Susan, to Food for Thought. We're excited to have you here on Healthy Monday.
Thank you.
Well, we are doing so much to look at what makes us healthy on the inside and as well as outside. Let's face it, we want to look good. But that also carries over into the fashions we wear, the clothes we wear, the way we present ourselves to others. And it's been said, and I believe this, you can tell me if you affirm this or not, but it's important to dress your best for how you are right now. And sometimes that can be challenging when we feel like maybe we're overweight or we don't like this about ourselves. It's easy to try to just cover up and to think, you know, I have a good friend of mine who is always buying a dress for when I lose a little weight, or she'll buy a size that she's not currently because I'm going to diet down. I'm dieting. I'm going to lose weight to get into that. And I've got to admit, I've got some stacks of clothes that are different ranges of my
in my closet.
There's
here. Several sizes.
Yeah. So we would love to have you talk to us about some of those things, about really making sure that we're dressing for the best us that we can present now, and maybe some kind of universal tips that we can help all listeners with, because I think that's something that probably most of us are interested in.
Yeah, sure. Let me first start by saying that my business as with B Image Consulting is really sort of twofold. So I'm helping individuals, both men and women, dressing on sort of the personal side of things. So really helping them develop a style for themselves, as well as really learning how to look at themselves objectively and dress for their body type to look good. In addition to that, oftentimes clients will say, well, I'm really at a point in my life where I want other people to visually see me, how I feel on the inside. So really what I'm doing is transforming lives by helping people sort of authentically replicate what they've got going on the inside on the outside. But, you know, some women and men also feel, you know, they'll ask questions like, well, is it vain or frivolous? Or, you know, if I get attention for my looks, then, you know, they're not paying attention or noticing my brain, which is ridiculous, right? I've also heard that, oh, it's just too much money, too much time. I mean, listen, we can come up with objection after objection with excuses of why we shouldn't look good. But here's the catch, is that if you're successful at being invisible or not standing out, it's going to take an awful long time to get noticed for the things that you want to be known for, right? So some of the things that are important is, you know, wearing clothes that help you get noticed for the right reasons, right? Choosing to express yourself in clothes is wonderful and powerful, and it frees you to sort of forget about your clothes and concentrate on living. I have this expression, you got to think about the clothes in order to forget about them, right? Because we always know what it feels like when we're wearing clothes that are something's wrong with it. The yes. buttons are popping yes. or the zipper's broken or there are stains on the skirt, whatever it is. And we're distracted by that throughout the day.
That is very true. And as well as, and that kind of makes me think of, you know, times that maybe, and this maybe goes to shoes a lot too. You'll see a gorgeous pair of heels or something. And you're like, oh, I love that. And I will see sometimes women, it's not just me, walking in heels that they are uncomfortable in. So they can't present themselves nicely because all you're thinking as you're watching this person walk is, she's going to fall. She's very uncomfortable. She's in pain. I mean, so if you're selecting, I would imagine the same thing with clothes. If you're wearing clothes that are going to fit well and you feel good in, you can forget about, you're not distracted by the outfit. The outfit isn't wearing you.
Absolutely. So, you know, what is it about clothes that sort of keep us from stumbling when we're smart and we're accomplished, right? We're very capable people, but we're going about it all wrong, right? First off, we're taking advice from people who know less about us and about what's right for us. We're reading magazines that proposes solutions to problems but can't quite apply the answers, right, to our situation. And we feel guilty about focusing attention on our looks, you know, and when we're it's most important there. So there are a dozen reasons why the first thing that you need for that sort of wildly successful relationship with clothing is to believe that you have it coming and that you're worth it. So I do have a couple tips. The first is, you know, why not say to yourself, I call this sort of the wardrobe bill of rights, right? So raise your right hand and close your eyes and repeat after me. I have the right to own, you know, to open my closet door and have everything I see work for me 100% of the time in the right colors. And it fits perfectly and it feels great and it looks good on me. So here are some fashion tips. Number one, do the love thing. You gotta love it. When you're shopping in the store and you're looking at something, it can't be, well, this kind of sort of, it will do. You need to love it, right? This will sort of keep you in check with only purchasing things that you're going to wear, because I've seen clients, you know, I've been in closets, many closets, and I see clothes with tags still on them because we're drawn to things for other reasons than love. So we do need to love it. The second step is, you know, dress for the body that you're currently in. The one that's breathing right now, not the one where you feel like you need to lose weight or the one that you're fantasizing about, right, 5 years from now. Not the body that you were in 5 years ago either. So really kind of taking check and being honest with yourself and taking a look at your body and dressing for it appropriately, right? It's time to adorn your precious body, the one that you're in now. Let clothes support your being of who you are today. And that's a sort of a better way of looking at it. The third strategy is think about fit. Fit is so important. It really takes precedence over everything, right? Because women focus so intensely on size, they sort of lose perspective on the lusciousness of a good fit, right? Good fit is a right. It's a requirement, a delight, right? It's something that we should demand. And you always know when you're experiencing a good fit, it's because you won't notice it at all. Like you mentioned, you noticed the lady in the heels, and she, I'm sure, noticed that too. And it's a distraction.
Right.
Let's see. The fourth one is your, everyone close, if you're not driving, close your eyes and repeat after me, or make sure you're sitting down. You are worth full price. Just take that in for a minute. You're worth full price. I love springing that on people, particularly on women who are totally stuck on buying things that are only on sale, right?
Yes.
Okay. This goes back to the love thing. You know, when you're considering wearing clothes that are worth full price, it's you're going back to, I'm really only going to purchase the things that I absolutely love. And hey, you know, we've always, I have seen in women's closets where, you know, one woman will buy five shirts all in the same, you know, in different colors, and but in the same style. Oh, someone's waving her hand right now saying me.
When I like it, I like it. Right. And then I don't want to miss it or lose it. So, yeah, I do that.
Yeah, and I'm kind of with Carol. Like, if I find something that finally does work, it fits, and I feel good in
comfortable
it.
Comfortable. And
okay,
you
I'm going to buy two more colors of that, yep, just in case, just yep, so that I've got something that's going to work.
Right.
So you say not to do that.
Yeah. Right. I mean, to an extent, I would say maybe if that piece was more of a basic kind of piece, but it really stifles your creativity when you're trying to create outfits. When people are really looking to sort of be creative with their outfit, what some people tend to do is they'll buy clothing that actually has a lot of bells and whistles on it. So let's take a sweater, for example, right? It might have gems all over it or things stitched on it. And, you know, there's, or it might be in a print or pattern or animal print or something. It's all jazzed up, so to speak. And that specific garment is just doing all the work for you. However, at the same time, it's extremely limiting to be creative, for you to be creative and put it together in your outfit, to make other outfits from it. So sometimes, particularly when it comes to creating sort of core clothing, you know, sometimes simple is better, right? Plain is better. Particularly when you're starting out and you're trying to sort of get your style under control and really express yourself and be creative, you know, dressing yourself in the morning and mixing and matching clothes. You can only do that when those clothes are blending together, both in color, meaning more temperature, you know, keeping the cools with the cools and the warms with the warms, and then also in its own structure.
Wow. Really?
That's fascinating. I mean, there's so many places to go, because now you're in my closet. And it brings to mind one question, and maybe there's not a universal answer then. Is there something that you would say every woman should go home, or man should go home and throw away, that's probably hanging in their closet right now? Or is there nothing that's that universal? I mean, if anybody has a Dickie, that's my vote. Throw it away. Do you remember those from the 70s?
Oh, I know the Dickie. Oh, okay. Gosh.
Yes, those should be long gone and used only as a dust rag now. But anything like that just people may be having in their closet that needs to not be there.
Yeah.
And even as you're talking about the clothes that you love and clothes I noticed it this morning as I left. There is one garment in my closet that I'm like, why have I not thrown that away? And I can't throw it away. I hate it. I don't feel good when I'm wearing it. It's not a good, it's just horrible.
You know what I do in my closet? Because I have a big walk-in closet. And when I don't like something, because it has like some tall shelves like here in the kitchen
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I'll take it. I'm like, no way. And I go, and I throw it up there.
out of sight, out of mind.
I do.
Okay. Well, why aren't you throwing it away? A lot of people have attachments to other things. So like if it costs too much money, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a huge thing. It costs too much money, and yet it's something that you never loved and you're not wearing anymore, right? Or it's sentimental. Someone gave it to you. Mm-hmm. Move those things to the way back of the closet. If you really can't part with it, just get it out of your sort of, I call the energy zone. Anyone, the difference of, you know, when I'm working with people, what it is that I'm really helping them with is to decide for themselves what their own style is. I'm a creative person. Can I bring pretty much anyone into a store, department store, and make them over, right? Put my magic wand over them and presto, they're going to look fabulous in my mind. Yeah, right? That's fun. But that's not going to allow them to replicate it on their own. So it's really sort of a process that I'm bringing my clients through during a style consultation to help them sort of uncover for themselves who they are and how they want to express that visually. And really sort of identifying for them what their style is. So it has very little to do with fashion, actually, But to answer your question, if you have something in your closet that you should just get rid of, I would say if you have items in your closet that you have not worn over the last year, chances are you are not going to wear it.
Okay. There's a lot of those in my closet. But I always think I'm going to wear it again. Interesting.
But you never do.
No. Probably coming up on the 3-year mark now.
Yeah, some people are like, well, those were my hippie days. That's my hippie Stevie Nicks sweater, whatever it is. And so there's an attachment from that perspective, too, where they don't want to let it go because just in case they might, you know, go back to that. But, you know, we evolve, you know, and when you do, you know, as far as, you know, you want to get rid of all the clothes that are old, right, that are really going to date you. You don't want to look out of date, right? You want to look current and with the time. So, you know, getting rid of all of those things is critical. And people say, well, they might come back. You know, everything comes back in a completely different way. So, you know, that big, bulky, big-shouldered,
boxy shoulder.
Yes, that's never going to come back in its own, you know.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, what the heck was everybody thinking?
I don't
know,
but they were so cool. It had to balance out your big hair.
I guess.
I will tell you, it's people are going to say that the same thing about leggings, right? Because we're all in leggings now, right?
Yeah.
Now. Like, I don't know, 20 years, we're going to be looking back saying, what were we all thinking?
That's true.
You know, that's where fashion and trend, you know, comes into play.
Right. You are listening to Food for Thought. We're live at the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester, and we are in studio with Susan Osborne, B Image Consulting. We're getting some great tips on fashion tips on, you know, what the right style is for you and what to do in your closet. So stay tuned and we will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester, and we are in studio with Susan Osborne of B Image Consulting. You can check her out on the web at beimageconsulting.com, and that's beimageconsulting.com.
Very good.
And welcome, Susan. We are getting all kinds of tips and tricks and all. So, very interesting.
Great, thanks.
Yeah,
there was one more point that I wanted to make when I was talking about, you know, some of the strategies. So we already covered that you want to make sure that you do the love thing, right? Mm-hmm. That's important. That you want to dress for the body that you're breathing in right now. You always want to think about fit first before a sale. Mm-hmm. Very important, ladies. Fit before the sale. And then...
Okay, so wait a minute. What do you mean by that exactly? Fit before the...
Okay. Here's how it goes down. You're in the dressing room. Well, you first walked into the store. You make a beeline right for the clearance rack. Because who doesn't? We all love sales, right? That should be the very first place that we go. So we go there. We find something. And it's like $7.99. And it's kind of in my color. This might do. I might be able to fudge this into my wardrobe somehow because it's only $7.99. So then you go try it on and, well, you know, it might fit around the shoulders, but it's maybe a little bit too big through the waist and it's not hitting right, you know, at the right point. Maybe it's hitting right at your hips. You know, the hem of the sweater is hitting at your hips, which nobody wants that. And you think, well, it's only $7.99. I can, like, I don't know, maybe belt it or blah, 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 whatever. So, no. You're buying it because it's $7.99. You're not buying it because you love it. And you're not buying it because it fits perfectly. So fit is huge. Love is the first thing. Fit comes right after that. So fit's very important. You know, it's hard for me to talk about sort of generally talk about, you know, how people should dress for their body types because we all have different body types, but you have to give yourself a little bit of love with, you know, thinking that there are tons of designers and manufacturers making clothes for the masses of us. And we all have different body types. So how could we possibly expect that all of these clothes are going to fit all of our bodies perfectly? They're not, right? So, you know, we had to think about, well, does it fit great in one particular area of my body that is, you know, usually a challenge? Does it fit good there? Well, it does. And I love the piece and it's in my color. Okay. So, you know, you checked three things off the list. There might be another area. Maybe the waist is too big, right? So maybe we're looking at pants. The fabric is great. The color is great. It fits great through the butt and the hips, but the waist is too big. So then what do, ladies?
You don't buy it.
Tailor. You go to a tailor.
Sorry. Okay.
You go to a tailor, right? You get it to fit. You get it to fit perfectly. But if there are more than, you know, two or three things that are not jiving for you with the fit, then yeah, you leave it, leave it alone. And, you know, that's another thing too. Sometimes when I'm out shopping with clients, you know, they're so, everyone is so caught up in, well, I've spent the time to get into the store. And I mean, let's face it, it's, you know, a lot of old of us, when we get older, we don't really want to be in the store shopping. Right. And so we get there and there's sort of this expectation that we must leave with something. And, you know, that's just not reality. If it's not sort of meeting all of our needs, then we should just leave it behind.
Wow. That changes my perspective quite a bit.
The other thing that I wanted to say too, in addition to that, is don't save good clothes for good. So many times when I'm in clients' closets, you know, I'll be, you know, outfitting, right? Putting outfits together, making new outfits out of their existing clothes. And I'll be going in the back of their closet, bringing out stuff. And they'll be like, whoa, you know, that's like, I just wear that blouse for, you know, weddings and stuff. I can't possibly wear it with my suit. So, you know, there's sort of this element of you bought it for a particular occasion and you can't just sort of get your mind open and wrapped around actually wearing it in other ways.
It's true. Yeah, that is so true.
And it kind of, this is going to tie, you know, you mentioned earlier going in a rut somewhat. And that makes me think of that because is there any way to help someone to see things a little differently, like a quick, easy way? Because my daughter, just the other day, I was trying on it was a pinstripe blouse. Loved it. She loved it. I was like, I don't know really what to wear it with. She goes, Mom, it goes with your favorite jacket. I have this favorite orange. It's a bright orange blazer that's like a lab coat length, and it's fitted, and I feel fantastic when I wear it. She goes, Mom, it goes perfectly with that. I was like, oh, why wouldn't I have thought? I was only thinking white blouse with my orange jacket, and there was nothing else I was thinking. She said, of course that goes with that. But to get to see it through someone else's eyes and get out of my prescription.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very, very common, and I see it a lot. You know, take notice when you're in the stores about how things are, you know, set up on the mannequins, just to try to, or you're like when you're looking at magazines or even other people, like just stop and kind of like take note. I never thought of, you know, putting that animal print with, you know, that other animal print or whatever it is. But really looking for either style mentors and, you know, creating a Pinterest folder that has, you know, things that you gravitate to, what it will do eventually is allow you to sort of uncover the kind of the common denominator of what you're actually, what you actually like and what your actual style is if you start collecting things in a folder somehow so that you can see, you know, what is really like jumping off the page of, okay, well, I guess I really do like animal print. I have, you know, 50 things in here with different animal prints, for example. But yeah, the problem with the saving good for good is that you forget that they're in there. You wait so long that what happens? It goes out of style, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, when you mentioned you said animal prints with other animal prints, but I'm not talking just about that. But it seems like now you can almost wear anything with anything. They even sometimes don't even match things.
Yeah.
You know, stripes with dots.
Right,
and,
absolutely. Absolutely. You know, here's the trick. Here, it's right here for everyone. It has everything to do with the scale of the pattern, right? So get it out of your head about, you know, not putting together like two plaids or something like that. You right. absolutely can. What you need to do is one plaid needs to be on the larger side. And I don't know, say that's the jacket, and the shirt that you're putting under it needs to, that plaid smaller. Needs to be on the smaller, finer side, right? So the scale of the pattern needs okay. to be opposite.
Okay. Now, what about colors too? I mean, you know, when you flip through magazines, because I love fashion and style and all that. And when you flip through them now, I mean, you see them wearing so many different colors with, you know, things that, I'm like, I didn't know that matched, you know? I mean, it always used to be like matching this and matching that. And now they just seem to put whatever together.
Yeah. The, you know, when I do a color analysis on people, what I'm essentially doing is teaching them about their warm and their cool. And once you identify whether you're warm in the cool or cool, then color is totally open. You can do whatever you want with it. You just stay within that temperature.
See, we could keep continuing. We could have like major conversations.
I'd be happy to come
you
back.
You need to be part of our Healthy Monday. I think that you'd have plenty to offer. So if people want to do some, want to know what their colors are, they can contact you and they can go to your website, bimageconsulting.com to find you, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Okay. Beimageconsulting.com.
Perfect. Well, Susan Osborne, thank you so much. I still have so many questions for you. I really do.
We don't want to let you go.
Listeners, that's Food for Thought. Susan, thank you for coming on Food for Thought. And tomorrow we will be in studio with Jean Kerr, Northeast Flavor Magazine. I'm very excited to meet Jean. So we'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye-bye.